Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tamara Lee's Trend On, engaging your audience to trend on you, live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central Time. Trend On, featuring guest interviews and current trends from businesses to entertainment to lifestyle topics. And here's your host, the engaging Tamara Lee.
Good morning, and welcome to Counting Blessings of a Happy Thanksgiving on Tamara Lee's Trend On. With all the noise this week from stores shouting out at you to come shop, and especially this year, it seems like Thanksgiving Day is no longer sacred, and stores are open on Thanksgiving Day, infringing on the holiday. And then we have the rioting and rampage over the Ferguson situation. And with all of that noise and chaos, it's hard to find the happy part of Happy Thanksgiving for a day of real celebration and relaxation. And so today on Tamara Lee's Trend On, I thought we would step back from the crazy and find a few quieter ways to count the many blessings we have and what things truly make for a happy Thanksgiving Day on this holiday edition of Tamara Lee's Trend On, engaging your audience to trend on you. And I am your host, Tamara Lee of Tamara Lee's Trend On, founder of Tamara Lee LLC, a communications company meeting the needs of clients on multiple communication platforms from websites, mobile, social, content, writing, blogging, cultural, and image and style consulting. And you can find me at TamaraLeeLLC.com. That's TamaraLeeGhLLC.com. And you can find us here on the Link Local Network. Tamara Lee's Trend On, engaging your audience to trend on you, is live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central Time on the Link Local Network. And our guest today joining us is Tara Oda. She is an expert in the food service industry with 10-plus years of having worked the holidays as part of her repertoire. And so we will talk about, too, both what it is to be on the other side of the table for the holiday, for your Thanksgiving meal, in case you're heading out and letting someone else kind of do all that food prep and work. So a couple of good things coming up on our show today. Before we get to that, I would also like to introduce my co-host, Heidi Feenster. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Tamara. How are you?
Well, I am getting ready for a quiet Thanksgiving, which is one of the things I thought we'd also touch on later in the show. Of all of my kids are scattered across country, so I had to get one of them to call into our show today, so I feel a little bit of the holiday cheer and connection. So, but yeah, it's a weird feeling. How about you? Are you having the whole crew at your house? Or?
No, my sister usually takes Thanksgiving, so we're all going there.
Oh, nice.
So.
This
should be
your
easy
holiday.
Yeah.
And I bet you have football queued up on your DVR for tomorrow, huh?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
No worries. The Packers are not playing tomorrow, I don't think. I should check my football roster. I don't think so. No, they're Sunday at Green Bay against the Patriots.
Okay.
So you can just wait till Sunday to catch those Packers for me to quiz you next. So,
okay. I'll put that on my to-do list.
Of course you will. You want to give a shout-out to our sponsors, and then we can get started with our real show?
Okay. We'd like to thank MediaVine Marketing, simplifying social media for successful businesses and professionals through training, consulting, and management. MediaVine Marketing, minimizing your efforts and maximizing your results. We'd also like to thank ZipBoss.com, professional business cloud built and maintained by Metasoft, Inc. ZipBoss, create, market, succeed, where powerful websites are born. Thank you, Tamara.
Thank you, Heidi. And I should also say that Tamara Lee's Trend On is one of several shows in the lineup on the Link Local Network. So check out those shows as well on linkedlocalnetwork.com. Link Local Network is a networking organization for professionals who utilize social media to promote their businesses and accomplish their goals with a strong local, national, and international following. You can link locally, connect globally at linklocalnetwork.com. And you can also find today's show link as well as all of our past Tamara Lee's Trend On shows and blog posts on my website, TamaraLeeLLC.com, as well as on the Link Local Network website under radio shows. So And I would like to reference a couple of our past Tamerlee's Trend On shows. One I did with Flannel Steve a few months ago already, I think, maybe September, about Grateful and the story of Ed Dobson with his battle with ALS. And I had the privilege of writing the reflection guides for both the Grateful series show in the series, and then for the final episode called Healing, which just came out November 15th, and those can be found at flannel.org. And as I wrote those reflection guides, after watching the story of Ed on film and his battle with ALS, one of the points made being grateful and thankful in adverse circumstances. And as we look to counting our blessings, many of us are facing challenges that it is hard to be thankful, but when we can truly be grateful for what we have instead of looking at what we don't and maybe the hard side. So that perspective and that attitude really is apparent in Ed's story and comes through in how it changes our heart and our mindset and our ability to be grateful. And as I thought about that with the Ferguson riots going on and how it's a national holiday to be thankful, and yet there's so much disgruntled or just a lack of thankfulness and appreciation. You know, there's the joke going around about first world problems versus third world problems. And not that racial tensions aren't serious, but if people looked at what we have so much to be thankful for and appreciating the freedoms that we have that are part of this country, I think it would go a long way for alleviating those tensions and that animosity and then truly being thankful. So it is all of our perspective. And then that ties into another previous guest that we had on Tamerlee's Trend On the end of October, I believe, on the Veterans Outreach of Wisconsin. And there's a lot of opportunities around the holidays to do something for those in need, our veterans, especially the outreach of the Veterans Outreach in Racine, needing donations for helping our veterans set up their households, any items, their food pantry. All we have to look around us is to see those in need. And when we do something, so if you're out shopping, grab something extra to be able to give and donate, not just for how it makes you feel, which is a side benefit really, but of the good work and the need on the part of the recipient. And you know, having been on the side of both the receiver and the giver, it's much easier to be the giver than it is to be in the position of need and having to receive that. But it can make all the difference on whether you have a holiday dinner, whether your kids get Christmas presents, all of those great things. So part of counting our blessings would be that if you are in a position to be fortunate to give, to do so and know that it means more than you might ever fully understand or appreciate until you are walking in those shoes to be on the receiving end. So that, with our guest coming up, I thought our holiday theme being food and fun and football and all of that good stuff that goes into making a great holiday, we will start with the food component with our guest, Tara Oda, who is near and dear to my heart. So I have a special love for this girl, and thank her for calling in and being here with us today. Welcome, Tara, to our show. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you for having me.
So, I figured after 10 plus years in the food service industry, that would qualify you as our expert guest today.
I don't know about an expert, but I've seen and done enough to know a little bit about it.
Okay, so what was part of that 10 years experience? Because you were always working holidays. I know that as your mother.
So part of it is, I'm not just Thanksgiving, but pretty much every holiday, Easter, some Christmas Eves, and just 4th of July especially, all year round, basically every little one, New Year's Eve, that's a big one too. Just doing, well, I worked at a private country club, so I did most of what we did was, unless there was a private event or a special party or something like that, most of it was all member-based and related, which is a great thing because you get to know your clientele, but it's hard because they become immune to it versus the general public. But I think that's true for anybody who goes out and dines, especially on holidays.
So, and that's one of the things I want to talk about is just in if you are on the other side of the table and you're going out and having someone else do the holiday food preparation and service for you, some things to keep in mind if you're dining out for the holidays versus DIY, doing it yourself at home. So, but first of all, let's talk about kind of the dinner and the meal itself. And part of your job it's in your food service is to know how to recommend the different pairings of either wine or drinks with your food. Of course, at the club, would you serve the traditional holiday menu?
Yes, it was basically all the menu was pre-selected. We did also do a specialty for the people who didn't decide they wanted to host at home. We put together all the meals, or we did an a la carte to-go service, too, where they could just pick up two pumpkin pies and a side dish or just the turkey and like all that stuff. So there were a lot of options that way. But if you ate in-house, basically what we set it up as was the traditional Thanksgiving feast, meaning beans, green beans, you get the corn, you get yams and sweet potatoes, and then you get your bird, your turkey. You got ham, the traditional mashed potatoes, cranberry sauce, gravies, and some soups and stuffing. And basically how that worked is you called ahead and made reservations and let us know how many people were coming, adults and kids, and then we divvied up servings per table order, per number of guests, and what we would pair with that. And then a lot of the times we did have, like, open bar, so you could select what you wanted, but we also put together a recommended beverage list that went with. One of our big things is we, in the last couple of recent years, we did more of a Bloody Mary bar, buffet-type deal, so you could go up and make your own, because those are one of those things where everybody likes their either spicy or mild, more shrimp. So we put together, like, a big kind of you get to make it yourself. Or we had, you know, we're from Wisconsin, so brandy and whiskey and bourbons were a big thing, not just for the men, but women, too, and especially the 20-something-year-olds, 25 about, were big brandy drinkers. So we put together kind of unique brandy liqueurs and pairings. And a lot of times we said, if you're eating this, pick this dessert, or recommendations throughout. As far as like wines went, we had, you know, our full wine list, but typically what I saw a lot of was a lot of either Cabernets, but mostly Merlots. A lot of people who were red wine drinkers drink a lot of Merlot because it has some of like the full-bodied berry flavors. And so that kind of enhanced their meal palette that way. And then if people wanted, you know, the crisp, the light white wine, we recommended a Chardonnay because it's got that buttery smoothness and a lot of times that nutty flavor that paired well with the turkey and the rest of the food. So it had the flavor, but it wasn't heavy. And then, you know, as the meal went on, people change to either coffee or a lot of times the after dinner drink. Holidays are one of those things where people typically get like a snifter, neat of, you know, top shelf brandy, usually for the men, and then the women switch to a sweeter wine like a Riesling or a Moscato or something to pair with their dessert. So all the meals, like I said, were pre-planned. per table. And how we did it was basically family style. Everything was pre-prepared. And then we had one of our chefs or one of our managers come out, a lot of times interact with the families, like I said, because we knew them from working at the club, and it was a select group of people. So they would do all of, kind of get to know them and the rest of their families and talk to them and have them feel like, you know, they're special and we're taking the time to carve the turkey for them. And so everything else was served family style. And then all the turkey carving was done table side. And then we left, and one thing that we did what was really nice is at the end of it, we wrapped everything up to go, labeled it, put it in to-go bags, and sent you home with all of your leftovers so you weren't, you know, just eating out and not really getting the full, because one of the best parts about Thanksgiving is all the leftovers. So,
well, exactly. When you hit the football games later, you know, about halftime when you want to...
Yeah, everybody's kind of munching. Mm-hmm. Well, and our seating times were typically from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. It doesn't mean they left at 3 p.m. That was just our last seating time because Thanksgiving is one of those people like to sit. People like to take their time. So a lot of times they were there until 5:30, 6:30 p.m.
Mm. Yeah, so then about 9 o'clock people would want to head towards those leftovers. That's really a nice tradition to have employed at the club there for your guests. I think a lot of people don't think of that when they go out. They're just like, oh, good, that's done. But then realize when they get home, I might like that turkey and stuffing in a sandwich about now.
Mm-hmm.
So being on the other side of the table for the holidays then, what would be your recommendations to guests or the diners as they go out in considering the wait staff?
Well, I think any time you dine out, you should be respectful and you should be very appreciative that you're doing this. And, yes, you are paying for a service, and we realize that. But, you know, a lot of these people, they work because they either need the money or because they don't really have an option. You know, many of us were young. A lot of us were, you know, home from college, visiting their families and friends, but they had to work on Thanksgiving. So really to consider, you know, the people. They're not just servants. They're not just here. They don't have – well, some of them, I mean, yes, they have to be there, but a lot of times it's not by choice. And I think what people don't understand is that, you know, the cooks do everything or – yes, and they do obviously do a lot of pre-prep. Our prep for Thanksgiving at the club or at any restaurant starts the month before. It's just like if you were preparing it at home – only you have, you know, a staff of 50-plus people doing it. And for us, we were there the night before Thanksgiving. We were setting up, clearing out, moving tables, setting, you know, making sure everything would run very smoothly. There's a ton of planning, a ton of orchestrating, who does what job, who can handle what section, and, you know, everything we need from table decor, just like you would at home, table decor to... making sure every napkin is folded perfectly. You know, I would sit there and fold 300 napkins the night before, and then we'd have to go and set it up, and it's just hours and hours of work. And, you know, it's not only just because people come in at noon doesn't mean we can come in at noon and just start. Mm-hmm. We're there at 9 a.m., ready to go, getting pre-set up, and then a lot of times after they leave, we're there a couple hours after. So it's really, you miss, in the past 10 years, unless I was out of town visiting, you know, our dad, it mm-hmm. was, I missed the entire day. You know,
mm-hmm.
even if they waited late, you know, a lot of times families do travel, and even our closest family was an hour away. So by the time I got home and situated, everybody's on their way back. So it's just kind of, I remember going home and just sitting in an empty house, so... something that every holiday, every day you go out, but especially in holidays, just to be extra courteous, you know, and extra thankful, and thankful that they are making your life at ease. We are doing a lot of the prep. We're doing all the cleanup. We're doing, everything we can. Yes, you are paying for it, but it doesn't mean it's not, you know, any easier.
Well, you want to be
a
day.
Right. You want to be appreciated. Pardon?
Go ahead.
No, just especially, I've had several times where on, like, Thanksgiving and days that, you know, a lot of people associate that just because it's a holiday, they automatically get paid a certain amount, or you get time and a half or holiday pay, or bonuses here and there. And service industry is very different. As long as retail, it's the same thing. We may get paid an extra little bit, but what you make and for how much work it is, it really evens out. It's just kind of, you know, what it is, but it's acknowledging that. And because of our club payment service, it was a little bit different. But I remember just going and getting 10% tips off of a $400 Thanksgiving meal and a table for 20, and or getting nothing, you know, and that didn't apply to everybody. It was sometimes you got more depending on the people. But if there's any time you're going to open that wallet and appreciate the service, it should be on a holiday. Like any other day, you're in there for a cup of coffee and sandwich before you go play golf, or on your lunch break at work and you leave, you know, 10%, whatever, you know. But on a holiday or something where you're just acknowledging that these people are taking time out of their lives, time away from being with their families, to come and serve you and provide you with a special time with your family.
Well, and I think the important thing you said there with that you need to think about with the people at the table, the diners tend to see the server, and then they don't probably think past all the staff in the kitchen, all the people who were, you know, even just the cleanup crews vacuuming in and making sure the physical presence of the place is appealing, you know, all of the teamwork that goes into making that holiday event happen. And so is it industry standard? And I know you can't speak to, like, the whole restaurant business, but how is the tip divvied up between the service staff?
Well, it depends how they do it. Sometimes for holidays, and it depends what type of a restaurant or facility it is. And they switch it up every year. Like one time we did team serving, so you had a section and there were two servers working it. You would split up those tips you got. So any tip you get is being split up between two people then. Granted, you are able to get better service and handle, you know, more people, but that is something to think about. And then it depends, because some years everybody pooled everything. So I've seen it both ways, either teams, everybody pooled, or individual tipping too. So, but if you're going to tip, just make sure you're going to tip. You know, it shouldn't be an afterthought. And if you can afford to take your family out on a holiday and afford a $200 meal, afford to pay, to give the server the amount of respect and pay
that
forward. Yeah,
that should be calculated into your forethought before you go out to dinner of how much it's going to cost you for that meal.
You should always budget a tip in. And, you know, just because I am a server doesn't mean I tip really well. I'm actually, they actually say that servers are the hardest tippers, because we know what to look for. Every time I go out, it's the server curse. You're sitting there, you're counting time between when you sat and when people address you. You know, what normal people are just like, oh, I guess that took a while. You know, I notice everything. I notice, I watch all the servers, all the bussers, everything around me. I notice when I have a plate there, how long it sits. And stuff that people notice who aren't servers as well. But and I'm not saying that just because they serve you, they should automatically get a 20% tip. I do believe
that
some servers work harder.
Have
to give what you have to use, again, your best judgment. But I also think that, you know, at the other end of the scale, it's a holiday. So it's overwhelming. It's busy. Things are backed up. We were serving 300-plus people on Thanksgiving or Christmas or Hanukkah or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a little bit longer. Exercise patience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, just because
you're here
at this restaurant and you're paying for your meal doesn't mean you're necessarily going to get it right now. That's
mm-hmm.
just not how it works. You know, and if you're sitting there irritated because there's not enough cranberry sauce, the last person you want to yell at is the server, the one who's in control of getting it to you quickly, helping you out. You know, granted, it goes both ways. Then it will reflect on their tip. And I just think that's something, you know, to be conscious of. And I always tried to give, you know, everything with a smile, but I wasn't one to sit there and take kind of that demeaning bullying, you know, like, you're here
mm-hmm.
to serve me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just that I think there's a fine line. But again, with the tipping, it's just one of those things where you have to be, you know, aware of the person and the cooks and everybody who's doing it. And everybody wants their stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it's hard when what I ran into actually most on Thanksgiving is people didn't want to get served quickly, but we have a system. We have, you're sitting down, we need to get this out, A, to get B out. And if A is taking too long, B is getting cold. Or, you know, like there's a system that goes on. And so then if you're going to say, hold off on, you know, this item for at least 20 more minutes, that throws three other tables off because they were preparing by seating. So it's just, if you're going to ask for special things like that or want to rush on something, to either be patient or, you know, pay forward for that. Realize what you're asking of them.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true, that most people don't think when you go in that from the service side, there's an orchestration and a timing element, and because everybody does want their food served at that perfect hot enough, but not too hot. And when you think of all that, it's, you know, it really is an undertaking to orchestrate all that. And for one family and in your own home, you know, something often would get burned because, oops, I forgot about the rolls in the oven or something. And when you multiply that out by, you know, the 20 tables, as you said, that really it shows just what effort goes in. And for your service staff, they've been planning for it for the month, and then they don't miss a beat because the club's probably open or restaurants are open then the next day. And then for all those people who ate in on Thanksgiving, by Friday, they're ready to go out again. So it all starts over. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for sharing that. And so just to recap on the beverage selection with the food, you suggest, or the recommendation typically goes for the Merlots with the berry notes for your reds?
Merlots, Cabernets. I particularly like Shirazes. I think they're very good. Typically, they're like a Australia or New Zealand wine. I think it pairs well with like the cranberry and the savory. A lot of times I like my mashed potatoes with rosemary and garlic, and so palate well. But again, if you're more of a white wine, I would stick to the buttery, nutty notes of a Chardonnay.
Okay. And there is really, I mean, that's kind of a thing I've been learning more about, is the nuances of the different flavors and the notes that you really can make a difference in,
mm-hmm.
in how the flavors blend together in your mouth. So, well, thank you for sharing that. And as we all head into the holiday weekend, whether we're dining in on Thanksgiving Day or we'll be out and about Friday, Black Friday, and Small Business Saturday, to remember to just really consider your service provider and what it's all taking for them to provide you that great service and be generous. So thank you for sharing that little insight into the back side of the other side of the table. So happy Thanksgiving.
You're welcome. Thank you. And happy Thanksgiving.
All right. We appreciate your expertise. And for our closing out here for Tamara Lee's Trend on Fashion, the holidays definitely have a way of sabotaging the diet. And so the frustrating dilemma of what to wear and more likely what will fit can easily take away from the merriment for many women, especially, but men too these days, who are conscious more of their weight. And certainly there are those women who are, or men who are body confident, for whom the holidays just, you know, are a fun, great way to showcase a great figure and fashionable wardrobe. But for the many of us, you'll be encouraged that the holidays don't have to be a sabotage of your weight. I've written several articles on maintaining a healthy weight, and I've been fortunate, but it's also been with some effort and a mindset to make sure that the holidays don't send you over the edge. And you know, there's a line from the movie The Patriot of aim small, miss small. And that is especially true when it comes to our holiday eating and maintaining a healthy weight through the holidays. And if you keep the range small, so like I've never had I don't know the last time I had a scale in my house. And I don't diet, but, and I enjoyed the holidays. And I think if we give ourselves permission to do that, then the food is all that much more enjoyable. But it really comes down to a mindset of nothing is worth eating that is worth the guilt or the feeling of not being comfortable later. Certainly I'm not a professional dietitian or fitness guru or anything like that. But, you know, I can say from my own experience of how to maintain a healthy weight in and out of the holidays, and certainly it starts with that mindset of the decision that there isn't anything that's worth eating that takes away from your feeling comfortable and happy with yourself and who you are as a person. And so if you enjoy the holiday meal, then the next day get right back at it. Many of us tend to say, oh, well, it doesn't matter, I blew it, so I'm just going to go the whole weekend and I'll start Monday. No, that's too late. By Monday, you've already, you know, done yourself in. So just enjoy the leftovers, but maybe instead of a whole sandwich, have a half sandwich. Or instead of eating all of the leftovers in one plate, just say for lunch I'll eat the sweet potatoes and for dinner I'll have the green beans and some stuffing. So there's strategies that you can employ with your holiday eating and your holiday celebrations that don't have to be the end to how happy you feel, because, you know, it's all about that fashionable fun, too, for the holidays and what you get to wear out to the parties and the gatherings. And, of course, if you are in Wisconsin, it is the traditional Thanksgiving fashion would either be a Green Bay Packer jersey or sweatshirt, along with your sweatshirt applique of either pumpkins and turkeys. Kidding on that, although there are a lot of probably ugly Thanksgiving sweaters that would rival any ugly Christmas sweaters. But a good look for Thanksgiving on the more fashionable side would be pairing your just fall colors, your rusts and your creams and your browns and the burgundy reds, and put those together for a little Thanksgiving color and fashion statement. So I want to thank you for joining us on Tamara Lee's Trend On today. We wish you all a happy and blessed Thanksgiving, and join us next week on Tamara Lee's Trend On Live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. on the Link Local Network. Tamara Lee's Trend On, engaging your audience to trend on you.